want to come to the Word of God this evening, and we're coming to John's Gospel, chapter 15, please. John's Gospel in chapter 15, and we're going to begin to read at verse number 1. As Ronnie has said, thank you for coming out this evening, and we do trust that we may know and sense the Lord's presence in our gathering this evening. I've been spending some time going through the I Am's, particularly in John's Gospel. We began in the book of the Exodus with that introduction, I am that I am. And then we've been moving through the seven I Am's as they're found in John's Gospel. I am the bread, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth and the life. And this is the final one tonight, I am the true vine. But it's not the final one that John will record, because in the book of the Revelation we have another one where the Lord Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And we may look at that in due course as God permits. And so this is not the final I am this evening, but it certainly is the final one in John's Gospel. John 15, I'm beginning to read at verse number 1. In fact, let's read the previous verse in the previous chapter, verse 31 of chapter 14. It's good to see the context here. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And the men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is the commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. We'll end at verse 13, and we're trusting the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, and inspired word. If there's one thing we should gain from the I Am's, it's the sufficiency of Christ. He is the great I Am. In other words, he's God manifest in the flesh. He's sufficient to save. He's not only sufficient to save, he's sufficient to sustain you. And there may be some in the meeting tonight and you're not saved. And one of the reasons for not being saved, perhaps in your mind, is that this is something you couldn't keep. That somehow if you got saved that you would fall away and therefore you wouldn't be able to keep it. Well, the truth is, of course, that you can't keep it and you don't have to keep it. The sufficiency is all found in Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything us of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And so I want to say that at the beginning this evening. The I Am's teach you tonight that he's sufficient. He is sufficient to save you. There's no one he cannot save. Nobody too hard to save, no one too young to save, and nobody too old to save. Nobody too bad to save, and he can not only save you, he can sustain you, and one day he'll lead you to be with himself for all eternity. I want you to see in this passage this evening, and I'm thinking especially of believers tonight. I want to challenge you tonight from the Word of God. And although much of what I say is for God's people, in doing so, I know that the Word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways at the same time. It can penetrate the believer and the unbeliever. And I want you to realize tonight, without Christ, what you haven't got. As we realize what we can have in Christ if we're truly abiding in him tonight. You could be used to bear fruit to the glory of God. And remember, man's chief end is to glorify God. He's sufficient for you. He is the great I Am. We noticed in John 14 that Christ was in the upper room. Remember, his disciples were disturbed. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. The Lord Jesus Christ cares about how you feel tonight as one of his children. And so he brings comfort to his own. And then look at the last verse that we read in verse 31. And that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. Arise, let us go hence. He's leaving the upper room. He's heading out of the upper room, and as he would walk along, he would perhaps have noticed some of the great vines that you would see in Israel. Some suggest that he passed by the temple gates, and on those magnificent golden gates there were inscribed lovely vines. And so it may be those vines, it may have been literal vines that the Lord Jesus was looking at, but as he looks at the vines, as he points them out to those who are with him, he makes this great statement, I am the true vine. Notice the people, first of all, this evening. Remember, he has left the upper room. Judas has gone now. Judas has betrayed him. He has gone out into the night, and eventually he would hang himself, and the scripture says he went to his own place. What a sad thing for Judas. The Lord Jesus says, good word for that man if he'd never been born. That'd be an awful thing to say about anybody in the Thrailand Baptist tonight. Non-existence is better than an eternity in hell. That's what Jesus Christ said. Better to never have lived at all than to live and die without Christ. What a terrible thought this evening. But think of the people. The Lord Jesus is speaking to believers tonight, and I think it's important that you get this into your mind. He's talking to the 11 disciples. As they see the vines, maybe this golden vine and the temple gifts, he says, I am the true vine. Not only as you think of the people, he's speaking to believers, but I want you to think of the picture of the vine. Because the vine is a symbol of the nation of Israel. The psalmist said in Psalm 80, verse 8, Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and it caused it to take deep root, that it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like goodly cedars. And this is a picture of God bringing Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, and there he planted them like a vine, and he cared for them, and he looked after them, and he made wonderful promises to them. But you know, Israel were a disappointment. When you come into the book of Isaiah, we read that instead of bringing forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes, Isaiah 5 verses 1 to 2. Even though the Lord had cared for them and provided for them and protected them, they disappointed and they turned their backs on the Lord. In Jeremiah 2 verse 21, they're described as a strange vine. In Hosea 10 verse 1, they're described as an empty vine. And the disciples would have known this picture. They'd have known that Israel was seen as the vine. And Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am the one who will never disappoint. I am the one who will never let the Father down. Indeed, Jesus Christ could say in John 8, I do always those things that please him. Christ is the true vine this evening. The dependable vine. The trustworthy vine. You know, he is the true light. John 1 verse 9. He's the true bread. John 6 verse 32. And here he is the true vine. People are crying out for reality. They don't know who to believe. They don't know what to believe. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Last time we looked in John 14, we realized that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You'll only find reality in the person of Jesus Christ. Think of the people tonight. He's talking to his own. Think of the picture here. Christ is the true vine. Think of the players here tonight. We can see quite simply in verse 1 that Christ is the vine. I am the true vine. That's very easy. Then look at the husbandman. My Father is the husbandman. God the Father is the husbandman. He's the vine dresser, the gardener, if you like, the one who has responsibility for caring for the vineyard. And Jesus says his Heavenly Father looks after them. And so Jesus Christ is the vine. And God the Father is the husbandman, the one who cares for the vine. Then look at the branches down in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And so I think it's quite simple, isn't it? You tonight, you're saved. You're one of the branches. You're connected to this vine. And Jesus says, I am the true vine, and ye are the branches. We are in Christ tonight. We're attached to the vine. God the Father, like the gardener, and I speak reverently, cares for us, protects us, and meet the needs of the branches. Now, what's the purpose of the vine branches? I don't know much about wood, but I am told that vine branches are hopeless for making furniture. You can't make furniture out of them. The type of wood it is, it doesn't lend itself to become furniture. I'm told that it's not good for firewood either. It doesn't burn well. And the only purpose, the real purpose for the vine branches is to bear fruit. And the branches don't bear fruit for their own benefit, but to bring glory to the husbandman and to the vine, and for the blessing of others. And tonight, you as a believer, your raison d'etre, your reason for being saved, is that you might bear fruit. Fruit that will glorify God the Father. Fruit that will glorify God the Son. Fruit that will be a blessing to others who you come in contact with. Maybe as parents, a blessing to your children as they see such a fruitful life. Maybe as neighbors, a blessing to your community, as people can see something, as we talked about Joseph this morning, the branches reaching over the walls, and you reach out to other people, and they can't help see a fruitful life that you have this evening. It's not about what you and I can do for God. It's what the Lord is allowed to do through your life and through my life. You and I are only channels tonight. We're just branches that the vine wants to work through to bring forth fruit to his glory. You see the people as believers tonight. You see the picture of the vine tonight. You see the players. You can see that Christ is the vine. The husbandman's God the Father. And the branches are the believers this evening. All very simple so far. Let me make some points as well this evening. I think this is where the key is to interpreting this passage. Think about our standing. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me. Now catch the words in me first of all. Paul says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Paul also said in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This passage is not dealing with your standing as a believer. If you're saved tonight, you're in Christ. And thank God that can never change. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's your standing as a believer this evening. What about your situation or your station tonight, we could call it? Look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. Now, we're never commanded to be in Christ. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. You're either saved or you're lost. But here we're commanded to abide in Christ. And you see, there's a difference between abiding in Christ and being in Christ. You're saved because you're in Christ, but you might not, as a believer, be abiding in Christ tonight. One speaks of the union you have, which can never be broken. The other speaks of the communion, your fellowship with God, and that can be broken. And I wonder tonight, is God speaking to some believer in the meeting this evening? And yes, you're in Christ, you're saved, but you know you're not living that abiding life. And we'll say much more about the abiding life before we finish this evening. Could it be that that communion, that abiding, is not what it used to be? You see the points I'm making here. You see the standing, you see the station. This is dealing with your fellowship with the Lord, your communion with the Lord. Then look at the sufficiency of this, because that's the point of the passage, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. Except ye abide in me, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Those who are abiding in him don't live their own lives. They're trusting Christ for everything. They realize that Jesus Christ is sufficient for everything. Like Paul, who said, for me to live is Christ. My whole life is Christ. That's all it is. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ is sufficient for everything, every moment, every hour, every day. They could sing, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. And Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. Remember the disciples trying to fish without the Lord? They were hopeless. They could do nothing without Jesus Christ. Now let me say this, you could do a lot. We read in Matthew 7 about those who will come to the Lord in the last days and say, have we not cast out devils and done many wonderful works? But you know, you can't do anything that glorifies God unless you're abiding in Christ. This is all by way of introduction this evening. I want to set the scene for you that you might understand plain and simply. This passage is not teaching that you can be saved and lost. This passage is not about your standing as a believer. It's about your situation, your station. Are you abiding in Christ tonight? We're not asking, are you in Christ? If you're saved, you're in Christ. We're asking, are you abiding in Christ tonight? You see the people, you see the picture and the players and the points. Let me look at the producers here as well as we deal with this passage simply this evening. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, here's what the Lord wants. He wants fruit. He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. He wants fruit, and then he wants more fruit. Look down to verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. We want to go from having fruit to having more fruit to having much fruit. This is the abiding life. And this is where you want to be tonight. This is the best place to be. This is where the Lord wants you to be tonight. He wants you not just to have fruit, but to have more fruit, and then to have much fruit. How can we get there? Notice first of all the purging here as we think of the producers. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth. Forget about the taking away for a moment. Think of the branch that's bearing fruit. And remember, we're looking not just fruit, but more fruit. And it says, he purgeth it. The vine dresser will come along, and if there's any dead wood, he'd cut away the dead wood. Even if there's a living branch, but it's sapping too much energy away, and it's taking energy away from where it could be used elsewhere, he'd cut that off too. You know what that tells me tonight? Sometimes there are things in our lives that's just like dead wood. For a believer, they're a waste of your time. An absolute waste of time. But you know what they're doing? They're taking away something that you could be given to Christ. There may even be legitimate things in your life. They're not dead wood. They're legitimate things. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing sinful about them. There's nothing amoral or immoral about them. They're fine. But you know what they're doing? They're taking away energies. They're taking away time. They're taking away talents that you could give to Christ. And so if you want to know the fruitful life, if you want to move from bearing fruit to having more fruit and much fruit, then the pruning knife will come in. And the Heavenly Father will prune away that dead wood. That dead wood that could breed disease in a tree. And that dead wood that could lead to sin in your life. Or those useless branches or things that are taking away energy that should be used for the Lord. Then the Lord will come and he'll seek to cut those away. This is the picture you're seeing here this evening. Sometimes the Lord cuts them away through scriptures. Look at verse number 3. You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know, as you read the scriptures and God maybe reveals something. Maybe he says God resisteth the proud. And maybe there's pride in your life and you read the word of God and then the pruning knife comes in and you know it can be painful. You know, if those branches could feel, it would really hurt. And sometimes God comes in and there's things has to be cut out of your life. And it's painful. Sometimes God does it through scripture. God even does it through suffering sometimes. I'm not suggesting that everyone who suffers is because that things had to be pruned out of their lives. But in some cases, that's how God works. We know that from Hebrews 12, that times God has to chasten us. God has to rebuke us as a father who loves his children will rebuke and discipline his children. So our Heavenly Father sometimes has to rebuke and has to discipline us. And the purging knife has to come into our lives. Not that God wants to hurt you, but he wants you to be more fruitful. He just doesn't want you to have a life. He wants you to have life more abundantly. We're thinking of the producers. First of all, there's the purging. And then secondly, there's the abiding. Look from verse 4 to 7. How often this appears. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. There's three times in the one verse. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Glance down to verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, if you want to take, if you want to bear more fruit and much fruit, then you have to live this abiding life. And I'm telling to you, saying to you tonight, if you take the words in Jesus, that's talking about salvation. When we take the words abiding in Jesus, we're talking about fellowship. We're talking about your relationship, your communion, your closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not dealing with salvation in this passage. You need to know that this evening. Let me say something about the abiding life. What does it mean? It means to be depending. That's what verse 4 to 7 would teach. You see, abide in me, abide in me. You see, we have the initial act of faith, but when we are abiding, it's a continual attitude of faith. We are trusting him completely and utterly for everything. This is what it means to be abiding. You're totally depending on Christ. Not only does it mean depending, but it means you do some digging. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, in other words, if you're abiding in Christ, the word of God will be abiding in you also. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me read 1 John 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. And the word of God abideth in you. If you want to live the abiding life, not only will there be that depending on the Lord, but you'll be digging in the word of God. You'll love the book. You love spending time in the Word of God. You'll not ever be bored with the Bible. You'll never be sick of the Bible. You'll want to know more and more. And the more you feast upon it, the greater the appetite grows. You see, when we're saved, we're fed with milk. That's what Peter tells us as newborn babes desire, the sincere milk of the Word. But you want to move with the milk. You want to get onto the solids. And then the Hebrew writer talks about the strong meat that belongeth them who are of full age, who have discernment, mature. You want to get off the baby food, and you want to get on to the manly food. You want to get to the meat of the Word of God. That's the abiding life. You want to dig into the Word of God. You're not happy with a superficial understanding of Scripture. You want to really get into the Word of God. It means depending. It means digging. It also means doing. Look at verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. 1 John 2 verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Let me make it simple. You will trust him completely and continually, and you'll obey him promptly and unquestionably. Or as the hymn writer put it even better, you will trust and obey, for there's no other way. This is the abiding life. If you're really serious about the abiding life, you'll be depending on the Lord. You'll be trusting him for everything. You'll be digging into the Word of God. You'll be doing, you'll be obeying the Word of God. This is the abiding life this evening. I'm not saying it's easy tonight. But if you want to have a life where you move from fruitlessness to fruitfulness, this is where you find it. You must be abiding in Christ. It means dwelling as well. 1 John 3 verse 24 said this, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. Again, that word could be translated, abideth in him. And the word dwelleth there means to keep in contact, to stay in touch, to stay close. The abiding life is about depending, trusting the Lord completely. It's about digging, getting into the Word of God. It's about doing, obeying the Word of God without question. It's about dwelling. It's about spending time with the Lord, looking to stay in his presence. It's about depending. It's about digging. It's about doing. It's about dwelling. Let me say something about the delights of an abiding life. What's the blessing? Let me put it like this. What's the benefits? And that's not a good word to use. Look at verse 5. Do you see the promise? I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. Who's this promise to? Those who are abiding. And I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Here's the promise. If you live that abiding life, you'll live a fruitful life. Look at the prayer life in verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Sometimes we take this verse and we love to claim it, and I understand why. But you know, it's not like a check with no name on it, and you take it to the bank and try and cash it, and they say, look, your name's not in the check. It's for those who are abiding in Christ. Do you find your prayer life sometimes, do you think sometimes that your prayer life is going nowhere? That you pray, but nothing seems to happen? You see, we cannot live the way we want and then expect the Lord to answer our prayers when we come to Him. You must have that abiding life. I say, we're challenging believers tonight. But I think when you see the blessings of it, you see the prayer life. Look at the passion life, John 15, verse 9 to 10. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Again, John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. If you're an abiding believer, you'll be a believer who loves the Lord. And you'll be a believer who loves God's people. It'll come naturally to you. You cannot be close to Jesus Christ and have a distance between you and other believers. That just doesn't work. If you say you're close to the Lord, if you're abiding in the Lord, you'll have a good relationship with every child of God. You see the promise? We're talking about the lights. You see the prayer? You see the passion? You see something that's plentiful? Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. And remember the things that he's speaking about the abiding life? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be filled. We were talking about the joy this morning, a joy that can never be taken away from you. And maybe you went home thinking, well, it's all right for him. And there's times when I face difficulties, and certainly there was no joy, and I understand that. But you know, we won't have this joy unless we're living the abiding life. Our relationship with the Lord is such that there's nothing between me and the Lord, only blue skies. That's what the abiding life is. And when you have the abiding life, you'll have that joy. You know, there's something else that the abiding life gives us. It gives us a wonderful prospect. Let me read 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Here's the commandment to abide again. And when he shall appear, when Jesus Christ comes back, we may have confidence, boldness, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. There will be some of God's people who will blush when Jesus Christ comes back, but not the abiding believer. If you're abiding in Christ, you'll have nothing to be ashamed of. You look forward with confidence. You could say tonight from the bottom of your heart, even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm not hiding anything. I have no skeletons. I'm not ashamed. I have nothing to fear tonight as a believer from the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, can you see the fruitfulness, the prayers that are answered, the love that's not human? It's God-like love. You'll have a joy that is unexplainable. If you're not saved tonight, you can never have this. But this is what the Lord can do in a life. He can take a life and save the life, make it a fruitful life, make it a life in which their prayers get right through to heaven. They'll have a love that can't be explained other than saying that the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts. They'll have a joy that is inexplicable. They'll have a peace that passeth all understanding. That's the abiding believer tonight. Is this what your life's like tonight? Is this what my life's like tonight? Is there love? Is there joy? Is there fruit? Is my prayer life such that I know that I'm in touch with the throne every time I pray? You see the people. God speaking to believers. You see the picture. He's the true vine. You see the players. Christ is the true vine. God the Father is the husbandman. You and I who are saved are the branches. You see the points. It's not about our standing. We're in Christ. That can never be altered. It's about our station. Are we abiding in Christ? You see the producers. God has perhaps some work to do in you and some work to do in me. Then we see something that's pitiful here. And this is where the difficulty comes in to this passage. It's not about salvation. It's about fruitfulness. It's not about your eternal destiny. This passage is dealing with your life now and your fruitfulness here in time. Sometimes God's people are described as being part of the body. And you know, if we're severed from the body, we're no use. Sometimes we're called sheep, and yet sheep can wander away. Sometimes we're called the bride of Christ, and yet there can be marriage difficulties, never from God's part, never from the Lord Jesus Christ's part, but from our part. There can be difficulties. And here we're called branches. And sometimes branches are not producing fruit. Look at verse 2 again. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Here's a branch and there's no fruit. Here's a believer and they're saved. There's no doubt about that. I know some look at this passage and treat it a little bit differently. And they say these are false professors. I can understand why they're saying that. But I don't honestly believe it myself. I don't believe these are false professors. Here's a believer and they're bearing no fruit. And look what happens, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. See the words, taketh away. Nine times in the King James Version, that's translated by the words lifted up, or words that are similar. And so an equal translation to this could be, not that they're taken away, but they're lifted up. Now, according to research that I have done in the vineyards in the Middle East at that time, if you had a branch that came out and perhaps it got close to the earth or was touching the earth, when it touched the earth, it became unfruitful. And what the vineyard dresser would do, he would come and he would tie the branch up. He would lift it up and point it towards the sun. And that's a wonderful picture of what the Lord does in the life of a believer. Believer, if you're getting too close to the world, your fruitfulness will be practically non-existent. And maybe the Lord wants to lift you up tonight and point you towards the sun, S-O-N. That fruitfulness may begin in your life. And this is what the Lord is trying to do in your life tonight. Lift you up, that you may draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee. Like John of old, that you may even be resting your head on the very bosom of Jesus Christ. Remember Peter? Do you remember what Peter did when he denied the Lord? And not just to deny the Lord, but in oaths and curses. And not just once, but three times. He was an habitual denier. What did the Lord do with him? The Lord lifted him up. The Lord cleansed him. The Lord commissioned him. And bless God, the Lord used him. And maybe tonight your life is like the branch. It's got too close to the world. And the Lord's speaking to you tonight. He says, look, it's time to get turned towards the sun. That fruit might appear again. That there'll not just be fruit, but more fruit and much fruit. And that your life and my life, drawing on the true vine that'll never run dry. We have all the resources in this big vine that we'll ever need. The deficiency will never be because of the vine. But if there's something blocking the flow of the sap through to you this evening, and you need to be lifted up and pointed towards the sun. That's what the Lord can do in your life tonight. The Lord wants to lift you up. You know, a bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. You know, some of God's people, when you're so close to the earth, some of them would love to step you into the earth and bury and forget about you. Thank God he's not like that. He wants to lift you up tonight and point you heavenward, that you may become a fruitful believer this evening. Let me ask you tonight, as a believer, is your love for God going cold? Has your love for God's people become cold? Is your love for the Word of God really non-existent? Is your prayer life at best just words, not really from the heart? Have you lost the joy that you once had? Of course you're still saved, thank God. But are you living the abiding life tonight? Are you experiencing what we've been reading about this evening? Are you bearing any fruit tonight? Remember what the Lord said to Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah? We could ask that question of so many of God's people. We could say to David when he was with Bathsheba, what doest thou here, David? We could say to Lot and Sodom, what doest thou here, Lot? Is the Lord asking you tonight, what are you doing there? What are you doing so close to the world? He wants to lift you up tonight and point you towards the sun, that the fruit might start to grow again, and the sap from the vine might flow through you, and you will become a mighty, mighty channel of blessing. You see the lifting? But then, you know, we have to go to verse 6, don't we? And here we haven't got the lifting, we have the burning. And I believe we, in verse 6, we have those who refuse the purging knife, the pruning knife. I think we have those who have been lifted up, but, you know, they just keep going back again. No matter how often the Lord lifts them up, they seem to always go back to the world again. Look what it says in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I think there's two ways in which to meet the Lord. We mentioned one to the boys and girls this morning in Matthew 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's one way you can meet the Lord. Or Galatians 5 verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Which way are we going to meet him tonight? Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Or well done, thy good and faithful servant. Paul said of those who hadn't run well, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Paul says you're not going to lose your salvation, but you see your works is just up in smoke. Everything you've ever worked for is just up in smoke. It's wood, hay and stubble. It's of absolutely no eternal value. You know, that's one way to look at it this evening. That those who live fruitless lives, who keep going back to the world, and no matter how often they're lifted up, they have a desire like Demas to get back into the world. And no matter how many times God lifts them up, they always turn it back and throw it into the face of the Savior. They don't want the purging knife. And of course they'll lose reward at the judgment seat of Christ. But notice what it says in verse 6 again. We need to read it carefully. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Now who takes the branches and casts them into the fire? It's not God. It's man. You see, I think there comes a point when, as a child of God, if we get so close to the world, we don't want the purging knife, we don't want the pruning knife. No matter how many times we're lifted up, we just want to keep going back, and we just seem to keep going back into the world. There comes a time, I think, when men take your testimony, and as far as they're concerned, it's up in smoke. And there's no way back. You know, there's a fearful verse in the little epistle to John, 1 John 5, verse 16. If a man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. I'm not going to say any more about that tonight. But it's a serious thing for a believer. No matter how many times the Lord lifts them up, no matter how many opportunities, just to turn their back on the Lord. And to just keep walking away and walking away and walking away. Man will take your testimony and just throw it into the fire. It's just smoke. You know what smoke does? It cuts into the eyes of people. There's nothing pleasant about smoke. And there's nothing pleasant about a believer who's sold themselves into the world. You know, the scripture says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. As a believer, you'll never be cast out. But you know what the great apostle Paul said? He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I've preached to others, I should become a castaway or disqualified. That's what the word means. He was talking about running the race. And he says, I could be disqualified. If I cheat, I would be disqualified. Paul, the great apostle Paul, and none of us here could tie his shoelaces, feared that he could let the Lord down to such an extent that he'd become a castaway. Not castaway in the sense of losing his salvation, but a castaway really of no use to God because they've just gone too far. It's a solemn subject tonight. And the Lord didn't put John 15 there to discourage you as a believer or to depress you as a believer. Because he wants you tonight to have that fruitful life. You see, let me finish tonight with the produce. What is this fruit that we talk about? Well, we looked at some of it this morning, Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. There's the fruit of the Spirit. There's the fruit of righteousness, Philippians 1, verse 11. Your righteous life will be seen, the fruit of righteousness. There's the fruit of our lips, Hebrews 13, verse 5. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Even praising the Lord is fruitfulness in the eyes of God. There's the fruit of generosity, Philippians 4, verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And of course, the fruit that we think about most of all is the fruit of souls being saved. Romans 1, verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come among you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Paul's talking about souls being saved. And you know, when we have that abiding life, then we start to impact other lives. And we see people reached with the gospel and saved by the gospel. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And believer tonight, are we living the abiding life? Is my life fruitful tonight? Is there any fruit? Is there more fruit? Is there much fruit? Or is there no fruit tonight? Remember, the Lord's speaking to someone tonight, and there's a believer here, and the Lord wants to lift you up and point you heavenward. You know, he's not in the business of putting you out of business. He wants to lift you up heavenward, that you might be a fruitful believer again. There's things that need to be purged, things that have to be taken away. And you know it tonight. You have to be honest before God tonight. You know tonight that spiritually there's leeches there that are draining away something that could be given to God. And the Lord wants you to dispense with that tonight. Let him cut it out of your life tonight, that you might be fruitful tonight. Lost soul in the meeting tonight. I know tonight it's not been like a normal gospel meeting. We've been speaking to believers. But let me tell you what the Lord can do for you. The Lord can save you. The Lord can take you tonight and make you a fruitful person. And you could impact your family, your friends, your neighbors, your home. And you could have the joy of seeing souls saved by the grace of God. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. You can believe me tonight. You can trust me tonight. And above all, you could be abiding in me tonight. I was reading about a tree called the banyan tree, and I know absolutely nothing about horticulture, but these trees, apparently, anywhere the branches touch, another tree will begin to grow. They're a very fruitful tree. Wouldn't it be great to be like that? Just to be used in the soul-winning business. To be abiding in Christ to such an extent that all the fruit that we've talked about can be seen in our lives. And like Joseph this morning, we can be reaching over the walls. And people will just want some of this fruit. They'll just want to see it. They'll just want a piece of it. They'll want to know your Savior and my Savior too. May God help us to be abiding in him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we realize tonight that we indeed deal with a delicate passage, indeed a controversial passage. And Lord, we believe we've dealt with it honestly before thee. We pray, Lord, tonight, if there's anything that's of man, that, Lord, it'll be easily discarded. Indeed, it'll be thrown in the fire. But Lord, if you've been speaking to hearts tonight, maybe, Lord, you're speaking to believers tonight. Lord, there's dead wood in our lives. And Lord, it's just taken us away from thee. Lord, cut it out of our lives tonight. Help us to graciously accept the pruning knife. But maybe even there's a living branch. And Lord, there's nothing wrong with it, but Lord, it's taken me away from thee. It's come between me and the Lord. Lord, help me tonight to graciously let the Lord cut it out of my life. Maybe, Lord, we're getting too close to the world. And Lord, you want to lift us up tonight. Lord, help us just to be lifted up and pointed towards the Son, that our lives might be filled with joy again, that we might be fruitful in our service for Thee. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, none of us want to be in the world's scrap heap. We don't want anyone ever to look at our lives and for us to bring any shame on the lovely name of our Saviour. Now, if there's somebody here tonight and they're not saved, oh Lord, you could take that life and you could make it a fruitful life, a life that can glorify your wonderful name, and Lord, can be used in the salvation of others they come in contact with. Lord, we know you can do it because you're the true vine. Lord, take thy word, plant it in our hearts, give us the grace to accept it. For it's in and through our Saviour's name we pray. Amen. We'll sing that great hymn, a favourite of mine from Songs of Victory, just in closing. 469, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. We'll sing verses 1, 2 and 5 with the chorus standing to sing. Verses 1, 2 and 5 standing to sing with the chorus, please. Thank you. Father, this has been a difficult message for me to study, because Lord, many times I've felt the pain of the pruning knife. It's a difficult message to preach, Lord. We fear that we might handle the word of God deceitfully in some way, and Lord, we want to rightly divide the word of truth, and so Lord, we pray that that'll be the case. And Lord, it's a difficult message for God's people sometimes to listen to. Lord, we realise that if we want to know that abundant and abounding life, Lord, we need to live an abiding life. May that be the experience of every child of God here. Lord, for those who are lost tonight, oh Lord, speak to them. Draw them to yourself. Save them now, Lord. For we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen.